Well, I think people have seen the press statement which Minister of Foreign Affairs and I have issued. The last few days, there's been a lot of interaction between the New Zealand government and between the different parties in Fiji to the dispute which is causing so much concern. Mr. Peters has been in touch with the commander of the Fiji Royal Military Force on several occasions, and I have been communicating with the Prime Minister of Fiji. Our desire, as I said at the press conference yesterday, has been to see if a way can be found to bring people together to at least talk to see if there's some way through these issues which doesn't involve a breach in Fiji's constitution and a change of government by force. Both the commander and the Fiji Prime Minister have agreed that they are prepared to meet, and to meet here in New Zealand. That was confirmed from the Fiji government end this morning after a meeting of their National Security Council to consider the proposition that I put to the Prime Minister of Fiji on the phone last night. So we have sent New Zealand Air Force plane to Fiji to bring Mr. Ngrase to New Zealand for the meeting, and he will arrive later on this evening. We hope to get the two gentlemen together tomorrow morning and to see whether it's possible face-to-face to find a way forward. It's not possible to say whether this will succeed, but both the Fiji Prime Minister and the Commander have welcomed the opportunity to meet face-to-face, and our job has been to try to bring them together and see whether some progress can be made. Is there anything you'd like to add to the opening statement?
I think you put it in a nutshell.
So it would seem, though, that both sides are still far apart. And one of the sticking points, of course, is this amnesty legislation. Do you think that may be one of the areas that could be moved on to?
I think that each side to the dispute has a list of issues. And what we've proposed is that each just freeze where they are with this list of issues and see if there's a way, face-to-face, that they can put the issues behind them one way or another. Now, to get agreement always involves both sides giving a bit. And the issue is going to be whether face-to-face and out of the heat of politics and military relations in Fiji, whether we can make some progress on what have seemed like intractable issues.
Well, do you think Mr. Peters be putting a compromise deal at all, or a suggested arrangement, or are you just acting as facilitators providing the venue?
We're acting as facilitators of the process. We have skilled diplomats at hand to help if that's required, but the key issue is to say we're here to try and help Fijians work through this.
Will Mr. Peters be chairing the meeting, or are you talking about other people from
FAO? Mr. Peters is prepared to be involved in any way which would assist. New Zealand Foreign Ministry is prepared to be involved in any way which would assist. If there are others who could assist, that's fine too. But in essence, we're acting as a venue and offering any assistance we can.
One last question before I give somebody else a chance. Is the Governor-General going to be involved in any way, or just providing the venue?
Again, that would be a question of how the two gentlemen felt about the involvement of people. Arnan Sachinan does know Fiji very well, has many connections in Fiji and understands the issues. So if there were a desire for him to help, I'm sure he would be very happy to do what he could.
When was the last time that Ngarase and Bainimarama met?
I couldn't give you an answer on that, Barry. I think in terms of a meeting of this kind, face to face, it would be
15 months,
quite some time.
The Australians haven't sounded very hopeful about the talks. They've basically been very pessimistic about any attempt to avert a coup. Do you think that hasn't been particularly helpful in trying to bring the two groups together?
Well, our focus over the last few days has been on whether we, as a completely neutral party in this, could be the vehicle which brought people together. Now, that required us to be proactive. It was certainly my sense by the weekend that something needed to be done because events were moving inexorably in a certain direction. And in the meetings which Mr. Peters had directly face-to-face with the commander, Mr. Peters felt that there might be a possibility of things being talked through. And that was certainly the impression, direct impression I gained from talking to the Prime Minister. As I say, we don't know whether this will succeed, but what we know is that both men have been prepared to put all plans on hold to come to this meeting. Mr. Ingrassi is coming at very short notice today, and Mr. Bainimarama has agreed not to go back to Fiji today as he was booked to do, but to stay over for the meeting.
You can tell that two police officers had come over from Fiji. The police commissioner in Fiji confirmed that today on radio. Do you know what they've been doing and whether they've had any sort of approval from the New Zealand government or police force to be active here in New Zealand?
I'm not sure off the top of my head exactly why they're here, but what I can say is that the New Zealand government has assured Mr. Bainimarama that he is not at risk of arrest here. That hasn't been an issue for us. The issue is that he's been here on a private visit, and we have sought during that private visit to engage with him. And that's what has enabled us to get to where we are today.
Is it true that a request was made by the Fijian police to have Bainimarama arrested? And our police refused.
I think there would have been some interest in such a course, but it's not a course the New Zealand government would be taking.
Will the Prime Minister and the Commodore have a teams with them, or will it just be them meeting face to face?
The Commodore is very much here on his own on this family visit. I don't believe that Mr. Ingrassi is coming with a large delegation. He undoubtedly come with support the staff, but I think the critical thing is that these two men actually get to see each other face to face, and they may want to do that without others present. They may wish to have Mr. Peters, Foreign Affairs, present. We're really in their hands, but what we have done is said, are each of you prepared to come to the table to at least talk this through?
Where's the room for compromise between the two?
Well, that's something they're going to have to explore. But usually a way through involves both sides resiling a little.
But have they given you indications that they're prepared to compromise?
They've given us indications they're prepared to talk, and that's the first step.
How long was your conversation with the Prime Minister last night, and what was the time?
Well, I've rung Mr. Ingrassi now on two occasions, Sunday night, to get an expression of interest in mediation, and then when the commander confirmed that he would be open to dialogue, I rang the Prime Minister at greater length last night and talked to him about our willingness to provide a venue and facilitation. He undertook to consult with his National Security Council this morning, which he did, and he has phoned me back to say that he would be keen to come.
Whose idea was it?
Well, the idea, I guess, began germination when I was considering it on Sunday. I was waiting to make contact with Mr. Peters, and we were missing each other on the phone about Mr. Peters' further conversation with the commander. And it seemed to me that given the level of tension in Fiji, with us starting to worry about security of the High Commission staff, that if we only worried about that, we were dealing with a tiny fraction of the issue. The real issue was whether anything could be done to stop steps being taken to cross the Rubicon and then see Fiji go into a very uncertain future again. So in discussion with Mr. Peters, I said I thought someone at least had to try to mediate. I wasn't necessarily thinking of New Zealand, thinking of perhaps providing an opening for the Commonwealth Secretariat or even the UN to come in. But events have moved very, very fast to the extent that the two men will meet here and New Zealand will be in a position to at least see how far we can take the meeting. I see also from the statements from Fiji that the Secretary General of the United Nations has also been in touch with the Fiji government. So there's certainly interest being engaged internationally, but at this point it's a New Zealand initiative to get people together.
When did Mr. Peters first meet with the commander?
Mr. Peters met with the commander at the end of last week. I think I'd be right in saying Friday.
Saturday afternoon,
that's right. Couldn't do it Friday.
And was it purely a matter of chance that he happened to be in Wellington, or was there any, is that just good luck that this has happened in Africa?
Well, the New Zealand government took a decision not to prevent the commander coming here on a private visit.
So he was here genuinely?
He was genuinely here. I understand there's been family matters he wanted to be here for. There may have been a christening, may have been something. That's his private business. But we took a decision not to stand in the way of that. So in that sense, it, I suppose, was always possible that something like this could have happened, but it wasn't what we set out thinking might happen.
Could Mr. Peters give us a bit of a rundown of how often he met over the weekend?
Well, I think Mr. Peters feels that he has presently the confidence of the commander, so he's not prepared to go into any substance about the discussions that he's had, but he has obviously had the long meeting on Saturday and then has engaged by phone since then, or another face-to-face?
Another face-to-face.
Two face-to-face.
Because it was very much under wraps yesterday when Fiji was certainly expecting the commander to be on a flight.
Our understanding was that the commander was never due to go back until today. I think that's my understanding anyway. It's there. But at Mr. Peters' request yesterday afternoon, the commander agreed that he would stay if there was a prospect of the Fiji Prime Minister coming.
Will there be further contact this evening?
Well, at the moment, the Fiji Prime Minister's due to come in kind of mid-evening, which would probably rule out discussion this evening. At the moment, we're focused on the morning.
Did you contact the UN and the Commonwealth Secretariat? And is New Zealand being the venue an indication of how urgent it was to get some talks going? You couldn't wait for those parts?
Well, events move much faster than that. Certainly from my point of view, I haven't been in touch with either Don McKinnon or Kofi Annan. Really, things have moved on very, very fast. Not sure that we've made that direct contact. We have. Yeah.
How long are these talks? How long can they go? Is it one day, or will you take as long as you need?
Well, we're going to get them together tomorrow and see what happens. It can't be more specific than that. We just have to see in the morning how far people are prepared to take it.
When will you be flying the Prime Minister back home?
Well, I'm sure we're prepared to do that.
And hopefully the commander on the same plane?
Well, one of the reasons for sending the plane up for the Prime Minister today is the flights down to New Zealand go in the morning. So there wasn't a commercial opportunity. and we felt that rather than let another whole 24, 36 hours time sequence go by, it was better just to move with the plane. So how people get home and how they travel is an open question at the moment, but we'll facilitate it.
Sorry, you don't have an idea of how long these talks could go on. Could be several days or just one day?
I think it's very much a question of getting people in the room together and seeing whether talks can work, and if so, in what format and what time frame.
Have they given an indication of how long they'd be prepared to stay in New Zealand to try and sort this out?
No, I mean, obviously Commander's been away from home for rather more than a week now, and you know, one can't expect people to stay here forever, so whether it's something that starts here and moves back home within a fairly short time, who knows, but we've just got to take the first step of getting people who haven't communicated directly face-to-face for quite a long time in the same room together.
There's rumours swirling around that the Commodore is actually going to come to these meetings sometime this afternoon or evening. Is that true?
Well, not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. Events do move fast, but I haven't heard that one.
Are you available tonight to go and meet the Prime Minister at the airport or anything like that?
Well, I was due to be on a plane to Auckland, but I'll certainly have a look at that.
And you're available tomorrow to help them out?
Well, in extremis, one can always cancel things, so we're just playing it by ear at the moment.
The last time these two got together, the Commodore agreed not to criticise the government anymore without talking to the government first, and he breached that within about 3 weeks. I mean, the thing is, you could have optimism about these talks and think you've got an outcome, but how do you actually enforce it?
Well, we're being very cautious in terms of what the outcome could be. We think the first step is you have to get people to engage. Hopefully, having engaged, they can engage further. But for there to be a longer-term solution to this tension, I guess both sides have got to be prepared to give each other understandings which will stick. And remains to be seen whether that can happen.
Are you confident that the commander will agree to stay out of politics, though?
Well, I think really they just have to sit down and talk about the basis on which they're going to engage. They're both loyal and patriotic Fijians. They both have their own views on what should be done. The key thing is to find a process for handling that.
Mr. Peters, are you expecting to see the Commodore between now and the beginning of the talks?
Well, no.
Sorry, can you get Mr. Peters to come up to the microphone, please?
Well, we both can't come to the microphone. Could I, first of all, apologise for my office not accepting invitations to make comment? But the reason is that I believe it would be totally counterproductive. And that if anyone misinterpreted what we were trying to do, then it would be deleterious to the result. But it is possible, but it's not on the diary that I'll see the commander tonight.
How do you see your role being played out in these talks tomorrow? Will you be a mediator? Or
I think New Zealand's view is that if we don't go to make the maximum effort, then we will have not tried what looks like the impossible. And it's in that vein that we are optimistic. But it's a big call for them to make. There are some problems which you might call one-star problems. There are some that you would call five-star. Some differences, I think, can be resolved with ease because of our ability to facilitate that. And there's some which are going to take a big step on the part of both those men and the people that support them.
Have you spelled out to the commander just how much damage Fiji would suffer if there was another coup?
I can't really go into the nature of my discussion. It was with one intent, with the Prime Minister's support, and that was to see if we could facilitate a meeting that could see our way through to a resolution that would not end up in a coup. and a repeat of the kind of circumstances of 2000 twice and 1987 once.
Well, put it this way, is he aware of how damaging it would be?
Look, it's not for me to comment on that. I do not want any of these participants to think they're getting anything other than the fairest, most even deal from New Zealand in terms of the talks themselves.
How important has your relationship with Māori been in getting and coming to agree to these talks?
Well, the important thing is that people trust New Zealand.
But you do have a personal relationship with the Commonwealth. I mean, has that helped? I mean, I would imagine you could pick up the phone easier than probably a lot of politicians here and have a civil conversation.
Yes, but I think we also have a similar relationship with a number of people in the Fiji cabinet. Mm. How shall I put it? I'm not thinking this is going to be easy, but I think New Zealand would want to go to the ends of the earth to try and see a resolution of what is a country... With whose people we have a deep affection, both ways.
How much convincing did the Commonwealth take? Did he resist your first attempt?
I don't want to comment on that. That's not helpful. I will, as much as possible after the event is over, try and explain what happened. But getting the meeting and getting it concluded, hopefully with agreement in the interests of Fiji's peaceful economic and social futures, what it's about. Thank you.
Thanks.